Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Play long and it's free to enter. Visit Hylliapark.com for more details. I'm Dan Day, and it's time now for South Florida High School Sports with Blue right here on AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 W.
From the Edmore Sawgrass Chevrolet Studios, Ed Morse is going to save you. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is South Florida High School Sports.com Radio on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and streaming at WQAM.com.
And that is us on a beautiful Monday. Hope your weekend was great, and we are with you up until 8 o'clock this evening. We welcome you all in, as we do every single week. And great show this evening, no doubt about it. Spring football is more than in the air. It's been going on and will wind up this week. And a lot to talk about. Don't forget SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com or WQAM.com to reach us every day. Two blogs a day, 10 a week. Our social media off the charts, no matter if it's Larry Bluestein, WQAM, South Florida High School Sports. Any way you want to reach us, we have things going on. We had a really unique feature on Luther Campbell today. Check that out. He's the head coach over at Edison, doing a tremendous job as well. A lot of people don't understand that, but, you know, I mean, that's what he's done all these years. I know he's a rapper and he's an activist and he writes for the Miami New Times and this and that, but you watch him coach football. He's been around it a long time, so obviously he knows quite a bit as far as that's concerned. Big doings over the weekend. We had an 8-team jamboree up in Palm Beach. 52 college coaches there. I mean, everybody from UM to FSU, a lot of out-of-state schools, Purdue, Auburn. Got a chance to see Wesley McGriff, who's back at Auburn now. But awesome time there. It'll continue this week. With a couple of more kickoff class, I guess they're spring classics or whatever they are, but get you a chance to hit a couple of people that you're not used to hitting every day. Big show, as we said, about 7:45 or so. Our college coaches segment continues. Coach Dave Doran from North Carolina State will join us. That'll be about 7:45. At 7:30, Miami Carroll City. A lot of people last year thought that the Chiefs were one of the best teams in the country. I mean, let's face it, they had a lot of talent. I think four or five kids went to Power Five schools, or three or four kids off of that team. But they're loaded up again. Last week went over to Naples, and Coach Bill Kramer, you know that he always does a tremendous job with that program, and they did some damage over there. We'll talk to head coach Benedict Hippolyte. That'll be around 7:30. At 7:20, Coach Pierre Sinatis, who's at MacArthur and doing a tremendous job. I can't say enough about the job he does. And the irony of tonight's show with those two, they're both under the Ice Harris coaching tree, if you will. But tremendous coaches. We'll talk to him. But as we do every week, we have a University of Miami segment, and certainly a lot of the fans text us all the time about some of the players that are maybe now or some of the future prospects. But they got a good one over from Pinellas Park, and a linebacker for the 2020 class. It will be a position of need. Because where the linebackers all came back this year to play this final year for Manny Diaz and in this revamped unit, next year, the following year, there's going to be some openings. And A.J. Mathis, who's one of the top linebackers basically in the country, is a commitment from Pinellas Park. He's kind enough to kick our show off this evening. A.J., thanks so much for taking the time.
No problem, no problem.
Big doings for you, obviously, coming up on your senior year. This spring kind of sets the tone for you. I know that at Pinellas Park, I mean, competitive, you know, on that coast as far as a lot of the talent. I know, you know, you get a chance to see some of the teams from St. Petersburg. We actually had a chance to see Clearwater Central Catholic. They came down last week to play Cardinal Gibbons. Talk about your spring and what you were looking to get out of your spring, you know, heading into your last summer before you head to college?
Well, this spring I couldn't participate. I had got surgery 3 months ago.
Okay.
So I wasn't clear yet to play this spring, but it was an opportunity that, like, I learned that I need to start taking better care of myself and stuff like that. But watching the spring, it was like sad, but, you know, I was just in therapy and stuff, getting ready for fall this year.
Did you find yourself maybe helping out some of the guys on your team, some of the younger kids, or some of the kids that didn't have an opportunity maybe to be in a lead position last year? Because that's good therapy for you, to be able to help, and, you know, maybe a linebacker's out of position or a safety maybe didn't get a read. Do you find yourself maybe, you know, helping out a little bit?
Yeah, of course. It's a lot of, like, young boys that's coming up that looks up to me at our school, so, like, they come asking me questions and stuff. I'll show them little things. I'll try to teach them how to read the guards and stuff. Like, basically, I'm trying to teach them what I use to be successful when I play. So I'm trying to coach them up a little bit when I'm watching and stuff.
And nothing wrong. Sure, yeah, nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I mean, and you take a look too. I mean, especially over the last couple of years, you established yourself as a player that college coaches from all over the country were flocking to. And, you know, obviously, was it overwhelming? Did it get to a point where it's overwhelming, where all these schools were coming in or calling or texting? Talk about the process, because there's a lot of people out there that think it's so darn easy, but it's not, because you have a balance of keeping your grades up, you know, having some type of social life. Talk about what's like to be recruited.
Well, when I first started, like, when it first started out, it was, like, really slow. And, like, you know, Jam McClessett, went to Philly. Them was, like, close friends. So I was sitting, like, they're getting all the offers and stuff. And then I was just being patient. I'm just chilling and stuff, waiting for my moment to come. It finally came. And then everything went up from there. And then around before I committed, it was getting very overwhelming, because I was trying to focus on coming back for the season and my grades and stuff. I was trying to worry about that. And it also where I wanted to go. So it was, like, so much going on in my head. So then I just, being recruited, then it got very busy, and it was, like, it got difficult making that choice.
No, A.J. Mathis joining us, University of Miami commitment for class of 2020, a linebacker. And you mentioned a couple of kids in Lawrence, who's a tremendous back, and some of the other kids in your area from, like, Largo and some of the other areas. When you watch them, and, I mean, you grew up kind of watching them a little bit.
We played together.
Yeah. That's important, too, to understand that here's guys that – and certainly maybe when the college coaches came to see them, and especially Lawrence, maybe they saw you as well. Did that happen? Was that part of the process as well, that they go, wait a minute, who's that guy? Who's that guy making all the plays?
Nah, Crawford made sure everybody seen my film when it came through. And then what also got him is, like, because I was young and I had a pretty good size for when I was young, so when I came, the eye test really got him too.
Yeah, yeah, and that's always important as well. As you look around during the spring and see some of the other players, you know, from the state, and even, you know, the class of 2020 at the University of Miami, did you form, because I know the last two or three classes have formed a really good bond. Has this class of 2020 commitments from the University of Miami, has that formed any kind of bond yet?
We're working on it. We got, like, group chat, you know, we wrap it up and stuff with Coach Van Dyke, and Coach Cooney. We wrap it up with them and stuff. So we're all trying to get closer. I still got to learn more people and stuff. I got to get to know more people.
Yeah, and also, AJ, you take a look at Coach Manny Diaz, a guy probably right after your own heart, an intense defensive guy who just loves that fire, loves that explosion of power. Talk about that, because I think, you know, it's just like if you were a quarterback coach and you love to throw the ball, you'd want to be a receiver, you know, on that team. But the position that you play, and you're looking at the linebackers that Miami has now and the intensity that they play under and the way they, you know, approach the game, with because Coach Diaz has been coordinating the unit for so long. Talk about that and what you feel that, you know, you bring to that type of defense.
Well, I feel like the defense, I feel like I fit in perfectly with the defense, and I feel like I got a lot to bring to the defense with the way I play, how I swarm the ball and stuff. So I really feel like this is like the defense with Manny Diaz and stuff, because he's a defensive guy.
Right.
Like at our school, it's like it seems more offensive a little bit, but like playing under a coach that's like a defensive coach that likes the defense, that loves defense, actually, it's a big deal to me, because I feel like that'll make our bond stronger and stuff. And I feel like I'll play up to my level with a coach like that.
Did you get a chance to go to any of the off season, like early, like the March, like the Under Armour things? Did you get a chance to participate, or were you hurt then?
I got invited to all the camps, but like that was the start of my injury. Like that was at the beginning of it, so like I couldn't much participate. It was like it's either I go and get the stuff, or I just stay at home and do my therapy things.
Right, right. And how far are you along? I mean, are you going to be able to be ready for summer, or you know, late summer?
Oh, they told me last Thursday. They told me today was going to be my first day to come back and stuff, and I can start training and stuff.
Nice.
So I went to therapy, and then I came straight to training. Before you guys called, I was training, so I just, like, hopped out real fast, you know, get on the phone with you guys.
I appreciate that. And so you're like, on your way, really, to coming back. I mean, have you been able to, like, ride a bike or keep your, you know, cardio going as well during all this?
Yeah, I was pretty much just jogging. That's it, just jogging.
Right, and
I'm not really.
I mean, go
not
ahead.
Really riding bike. I was just, you know, running at the park nearby and stuff.
Okay. Well, I mean, and I watch your film, and a lot of people watch your film, and you're an intense guy, and you get after the ball, and you read plays as well as anybody. I mean, for somebody who probably hasn't had that type of experience, you have an instinct for that. What do you attribute to that? It just being an athlete?
That plays a big part in it, but I got really good at reading guards and stuff, and like watching film and stuff. I watch how their linemen line up and stuff. So before the plays, I just stop and I like stare at their hands a little bit to see where the play would go, where I think the play is going to go. So I was really watching that most of the time. That's why when they snap the ball, I'll already be in the hole right there.
And obviously coming up, you know, you're looking at this full season coming up and then heading down to the University of Miami. What was the determining factor? You ask a lot of the athletes and they go, well, I like that coach, or I like that campus, or I like what they offer academically, or, you know, like in Miami's case, everybody thinks it's a huge school, but it's really not. I mean, it's a smaller school, and you get to know a lot more people, get to know a lot more, you know, so it's a whole different. I mean, you go to UCF, they have 65,000 students. So you obviously can't appeal to all of them. What was it about Miami that you said, hey, this is where I want to be?
Well, when I first got there, you know, like when I went to Auburn and I went to UF, FSU and stuff, and I looked around these huge campuses. So it was like at those huge campuses, it was like they got an eye capture. They're like, when you come in, it's like, oh, look at this facility and all this, that, and the third. But when I first went in Miami, I look around and stuff, and it was like, I was like, I don't know about this. But then as I went on and stuff, it just got better and better. I started learning coaches. I also watched how the defense played, and I, like, really imagined myself playing on that defense and playing with them and stuff. And I know about their great history of having linebackers and stuff, and they're thin on linebackers, so I feel like I got a perfect shot going to Miami.
And that's what I said. I mean, you know, I mean, here, you know, it was great that Miami got the linebackers back for this final season because that's going to help some of the younger guys now. But you're going to go into a situation probably next year at this time, and you'll be ready. I mean, you'll be ready because, you know, you've taken a lot of time. I think, too, and correct me if I'm wrong, when you get hurt, sometimes you work so hard to get back that you maximize everything. You get bigger, you get stronger, and you become more mature because you're dealing with adversity. Has that happened with you?
Yeah, that's happened with me. Like, I realized that, like with the injury, I realized how much, like, I really love playing football and, like, sitting back and watching this, like, geez. So, like, now I'm, like, since I can train and stuff, I'm hustling, trying to get back on the field as quickly as possible.
Good stuff. AJ, I appreciate you hooking up with us. The best of luck coming back from your injury. We'll check you out. And thank Coach Crawford as well, because he was instrumental in helping us get you on. And we're looking forward to having you. Your intensity level, I think people should check out AJ Mathis. If they haven't, you check out your huddle and see what you've done. And again, I know University of Miami's getting a good one. You love the academics as well. And that's a positive thing. Have a great summer. Get better, and we'll see you soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Good stuff. AJ Mathis, Pinellas Park High School, a University of Miami commitment for class of 2020. If you haven't had a chance to maybe check him out on Huddle, do so. I mean, this kid is a big-time football prospect, and that if you look at the class of 2020, that theme, and you know, if you've been around this spring and have seen the college coaches all around like we have with Coach Field and Coach Berry and also Coach Banda, who we'll have on in another week or two to talk about some of the camps. You'll understand where Miami's headed. You heard Don Bailey Jr. It's a work in progress, and certainly this work is exciting to watch. Don't forget, 7:45, head coach Dave Doran from North Carolina State will join us. At 7:30, Benedict Hippolyte, the head coach at Miami Carroll City. And when we come back, the head coach at Hollywood MacArthur, Pierre Sinatis.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Back with you on a Monday night, South Florida High School Sports.com radio show. Larry Bluestein and Dan Day up until 8 o'clock. K-Raj will take back over from 8 to 10. A lot to talk about. Just saw a question. Are the Lakers headed in the right direction? Wow.
Is that rhetorical?
Yes, that is a rhetorical question. Thanks so much to AJ Mathis, University of Miami 2020 linebacker recruit out of Pinellas Park, for joining us in the opening segment. Now we turn our attention locally to a couple of teams that have really started to turn the corner. One of them, the Mustangs of Hollywood MacArthur. And, you know, it's kind of crazy. As we said before, Coach Tim Ice-Harris, one of the most respected coaches. Like I said, he's one of the, you know, I've been doing this a long time and easily one of the top coaches that I've been around from every aspect of the game. He has quite a coaching tree, and we have two of those parts of the tree on tonight. First, will join us is Coach Pierre Sinatis, who has done a super job at MacArthur, turning the Mustangs around and getting things straight. This is somebody who gets it done not only on the football field, but very academic-oriented, and that's a positive. He's kind enough to join us tonight. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time.
Hey, bless, Larry. Appreciate you guys having us on tonight, and you know, we're rocking and rolling here, just getting off the field here at MacArthur, getting ready for our, you know, our spring game and ending up our spring practice this year. Been truly excited about the process, and the young men have just been, you know, really buying into the culture, and everybody talks about that. And so we're just, like you said, we're just breaking down, you know, the mind of our student athletes. What we're telling them to do is buy in academically, buy in physically, exhaust yourself mentally, have character, have core values, do the right things, and football is going to be natural. Some of our kids have been doing it so long and so well, such a high level. We're just trying to push them in the right direction at McCarthy Senior High School.
And, you know, Coach, too, as irony will take it, as I said, tonight we'll also have Coach Hippolyte, who you were with at Booker T. Washington. And then you'll face off with your mentor on Wednesday at your place. Coach Ice Harris will bring his very talented Booker T. Washington team in to play. Talk about what Coach Harris has meant for you and your career and your life.
Just happenstance. You know, we're trying to put these spring games together, and teams moving back out, venues move. So we're stuck without a spring game. Coach is stuck without a spring game, and we communicating, and we're vetting them to like, hey, coach, let's lock it up and go.
Yeah.
You know, you got a good program. We got a young program. We're going to be an elite national, you know, state championship type of program. We got to beat programs like yourself. Coach said, let's go do it and bring it on, you know.
Yeah.
He hits you with a hey, baby, and it's on, and we're rocking and rolling. And so we're excited about playing the national brand. And, you know, Coach Harris means so much to me in my process as a young coach, having a man that took us and really groomed us, you know, having great high school success, being a collegiate coach at University of Miami and a couple of different staff, and learning from our mistakes as a staff of Booker's. What did we not do well? How can we grow? How can we continue to produce high student athletes, and just not just the athlete? What do they need to succeed at the collegiate level and professional level? And that's why you see so many professional guys coming out of that program, because it's a vision from day one. He nurtures it, he believes it, he teaches it, he preaches it, he demands it from his staff. And I was just really lucky to have an opportunity to be there, take some of those gems and instill it and continue to grow it. And same thing with, you know, me and Benedict talk all the time. He's done a phenomenal job over there. Young man that was able to play in that program and culture, coaching it, and now has his own program ascending nationally as well. And I think it's not a coincidence at all.
No.
I had the coach, and I appreciate everything that those people do in Overtown. That's a special community, a special place of football in the country.
And with him, he gets you ready. He doesn't, like, put you off on the side. He'll throw you right into the action because he knows that one day you want to run your own program, just like Benedict, just like a bunch of people. So he's not going to hide you off to the side. He's going to make decisions while he's there to maybe help correct it. Talk about that, because I know that the academic part has been instilled in you for a lifetime. Your family has put that into you. But he combined that with discipline, which is huge. I mean, I can't tell you, and you've been around, you could see so many kids that are so talented, but if that program doesn't have discipline, you'll never get over the hump.
We talk about that as a staff all the time. And, you know, one of the things, we kind of discuss these things together within the community and culture, and, you know, Benedict talked about the opportunity that MacArthur provided. Like, what do you think about this job at MacArthur Senior High School? Says, man, it's always been a community of great football. It's always had tremendous athletes. It's always had great bones location, and you're going to get support. You know, the staff, really, that's a football staff, an athletic staff. Baseball just won a district championship.
Right.
Basketball won a district championship. Baseball's one game away from going to state. You know, you have athletes all over the place. It could be a program that you can really put a stamp on and elevate and, you know, brand and really become an elite program. And we have those conversations. But I tell my staff, it's about servicing the men, servicing these young men. It's not about us, what we know, our X's and O's, and what we've done. We could put away our rings and our wins and our careers. That's done. How do we service these young men at our community, in our school, to elevate them? And that's what we learned. You have to service the individual student athlete. If you don't believe that, if you don't do that every single day, and if you don't understand how to do it, your programs can't grow.
Yeah.
That's just the reality of it.
No doubt.
You know, so hey, we're apostles. We're men of purpose, and I mean, it's just, and I think it's within just who we are as core men, and you see it in our programs, you see it in our staff, and you're gonna see it in our culture. You're gonna see how we play. We play with that intensity as well, and our kids get that. They're grinding, and they want to explode on the field because they have that passion. Because we coach with passion, we talk with passion. Our action is passionate. It's a game of passion, and so again, that just happened to be in our DNA as well, and. I think, you know, it's going to be an exciting game here on Wednesday because the cultures are similar.
Yep.
You know, the bloodlines are similar, and I think it makes for great, great football.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I think that's why our athletes have, right now, I think we're 10 Division I student athletes this spring. So the college has been running through the building. So that's been a tremendous change, you know, having the high-end student athletes you know, root into MacArthur, buy into the culture, buy into the program, buy into the academics. We have three guys on course to graduate mid-year and before qualifiers, you know. And so those things are exciting. We're close to getting All-American caliber student-athletes in this particular recruiting class.
Nice.
So we're right on the verge. And so those things are happening. We got all-county guys. We got all-state guys. And now we're trying to become national guys right here in Hollywood, Florida. And we talk about it all the time, from PPO to Washington Park to Hollywood Powell. We got these guys right here that are been in, that's in everybody's program, that are in our neighborhood. If they come to MacArthur, it's lights out. Forget about it.
Yeah,
you have to deal with us.
Coach Pierre Sinatus joining us, head coach at MacArthur, defending district champions. You came in there and did an awesome job, win and lose a tough playoff game to Palm Beach Lakes, a defensive-oriented game. The one thing also that you learned from your career is to kind of orient yourself and wrap yourself around some really good coaches, and you've done that as well. Talk about the benefit of that.
And you have to. You talk about Jaquaid Nunley coming in with his years and years of experience as an offensive guy. You know, been able to do it at major programs. I mean, teaches at a collegiate level. I mean, so sophisticated in his thought process and detail. And he's supported by, you know, great staff. You're talking about Marcel. Kuhn Roberson comes in from Washington Park and helps out at running back and bridges the community, brings the discipline, brings the intensity. George Wingham comes in at receiver and kind of elevates that, a guy that's been able to play at the highest level, play in the Canadian League, and continues to train and produce top-end receivers. And you flip over to the defensive staff. We were able to bring in Coach Rose Green in this offseason to kind of run the defense and help, you know, take the defensive backs into a different, you know, stratosphere with his skill set, his passion for that position in that room. You know, he's supported by Coach Kendall, who does a phenomenal job on the back end. And we got Coach Stafford, some Dillard guy, UCF guy, that's coming over at linebacker. Myself, Clinton Gary Jr. is helping out with the defensive line myself.
Nice.
And Coach Gunn. So you're talking about guys that 20, Coach Gunn's been around forever. You know, I want to tell you date coach, but you know, you're talking about a 20-year-plus veteran. Coach Gary was a South Florida guy. You got guys from Dade County on the line. They're like, boy, you got a lot of Dade County coaches.
Yeah.
You know, these men, you know, live in the community right on the border.
Uh-huh.
Just because they played at South Ridge, played at Norman, Edison. You got these guys that are been rooted in, you know, Dade County lures, but they're here. Their family live in the local area. Their kids go into local schools, and they're bringing, you know, some of that history and tradition into MacArthur as well, and blending some of the traditions that MacArthur has had.
Good stuff.
It's been a phenomenal blend of cultures and backgrounds and experiences. So, yeah, these kind of men stewarding and running the program, you know, we're really excited about just elevating the brand and the culture, and MacArthur football is having a spectacular season.
Yep.
Beyond just on the field, like you talked about, just making sure that we can have a youth signing day and have that event be meaningful, and where they just don't sign, but they go there and they stay there and they make it through and they graduate through.
Love it.
So too many times we're having these signing days, but are the guys actually finalizing their aspirations? When I see guys like Demetrius Jackson that comes out with a bachelor's.
Yes, yes.
Is running now. These are what we're trying to produce every time we have a signing class. We want our young men to maximize the opportunity of football and get their education, get a degree, get an experience, have a lifelong values that benefit and grow self and community and family. So
that sounds great recipe. Great recipe.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt, man.
Good
stuff.
And
then we're going to come on the field and we're going to punch you in the mouth. We're going to be physical. We're going to be nasty. We're going to jump up and down and chest bump. We're going to have a great time doing it. Nobody's going to work hard enough. Nobody's going to be more physical than us. And we're going to take those values, you know, off the field into the building, into the community.
Good stuff. Wednesday, 7 o'clock, MacArthur High School, Booker T and the Mustangs.
Check. We have a 5 o'clock kickoff.
Oh, it's 5 o'clock. Okay.
7 p.m., we have St. Thomas coming in, and we're fighting for a state title opportunity. Our baseball team has made it through. They're going to go at 7. We're going to bump up to 5.
Oh, great. So you got a great doubleheader.
Doubleheader, baby. Come get it.
All right. 5 o'clock, the football. 7 o'clock, baseball over at MacArthur Wednesday.
No doubt.
I'm excited. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. We'll see you out there on Wednesday.
Appreciate you, Larry. Appreciate it. WQAM and the platform.
Anytime, man. Gotcha. Thanks so much. Pierre Sinatus, head coach at MacArthur. Doubleheader. The winner of the baseball game goes to state. It's either St. Thomas or MacArthur. You got to love that as well. And as we told you, that coaching tree goes deep from Ice Harris. One of the other coaches just getting it done And he has since leaving Booker T and, you know, both Pierre Sinatus and our next guest, Coach Benedict Hippolyte from Carroll City, have really benefited from having somebody influential like Coach Ice Harris in their lives. And Coach Hippolyte is kind enough to join us. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. The second part of the coaching tree.
Hey, Larry, how you doing, man? Thank you for having me, man. It's always a pleasure to be on. Thank you, man.
Anytime. It's old-time Booker T week, and certainly it couldn't be better two people, you and Coach Sinatus. You guys just got done with your spring game on Friday, a workmanlike contest over in Naples. You guys went over and took business. Talk about what this spring's been about for you guys.
Man, I just thought, man, that, you know, as we just evaluated the program from last year and where we finished off, I understand that we, you know, a lot of people call it suffering a tough loss. And, you know, I always go into these different kind of conversations where people poke at me about the statement that was made against Northwestern. And they was like, well, what was your message to your team, you know, about after the Miami Central lost? And like I told them, we preach all year long that is not a sprint, it's a marathon. So When they asked me, I just simply told the guys that the marathon of life continues. You know, it's going to be things and adversity and hurdles that you're going to have to overcome in life and obstacles that's in place. But are you going to let the life get the best of you, or are you going to continue to fight back? And understanding how to respond, because we understood that after that loss right there, there were still guys who needed to go ahead and sign that letter of intent and do what they needed to do academically, SAT, get all of those things in place to go ahead and live out their dream to go play college football. So life, you know, and the marathon of life continues. You know, we're suffering losses like relative and, you know, just about just the adversity life gives you. So you cannot just, when life punches you, lay down. You got to be able to get back up and continue to fight back. And always making sure that you have those attributes and those things and those qualities and the characteristics of a fighter in life. So I really thought that I looked back and evaluate from that game, and I thought that we wasn't physical enough. I thought we had a good scheme on both sides of the football. I thought we attacked well. I thought we played well. They're always going to be coached up well because the staff does a phenomenal job. They're always going to be prepared. But I just thought when it boils down to it and you needed the 1 yard, The life is about a gain of 1 yard, an inch.
Yep.
And if about an inch, I thought they won the physical battle. So we came in here this spring and made sure that that was one thing we wanted to do, enforce and make sure that the guys were physical. I told them, hey, look, I don't care if I have to travel to Naples with 25 to 30 players. I'm going to figure out who's physical right now in May and not trying to figure out who's physical in November and December.
Right.
So I thought I got the most out of the guys, maximizing them as far as being physical, and we went into the game, and I thought we won the physical battle. We created 6 turnovers on defense. We took advantage of those opportunities on offense, and at will, at times, we just wanted to run the ball just to challenge our offensive line and challenge how physical our team was, and I just thought we won the physical battle.
Yeah, and that's an awesome thing. And also, when you take a look at the scheduling, and you've been brought up in an environment that you run from nobody, even though you're not in 6A anymore and you're in 4A, you still find a way to play all the inner city schools because you have to. You have to keep that sharpness up, because you know that if you play outside the area, you're not going to get tested as much as if you line it up against Northwestern or Central or Booker T or any of those teams that have challenged you and other teams for decades. Talk about that as well.
I think you always want to make sure that you put your kids and try to create the worst environment as possible to make sure that they can understand how to overcome tough times. Because in the perfect world, we want to say that life is perfect, but life is not perfect. You're challenged, constantly challenged, and it's a lot of changes that happens in life or whatever. It's a lot of adversity and things, and how do you overcome that as an individual, as a person, as a young man? How are you able to produce in society when life is being difficult? You know, I think everybody's a leader when everything is going well. Everybody's on the forefront. Everybody wants the ball when the time and everything is going well.
Right.
But what kind of person are you when it's not going well, when you're facing tough times, when you're facing these difficult issues? How do you respond more or less and not react? So we understand the importance of those games, because you need those rivalry games. Those are the games that really challenge. Those are the games that make legends.
Right.
You know,
right.
Them legends, when you talk about, you can look back down the line when you're talking about Ricky Jean Francois, all of these guys who played for Walt Frazier, and he's done a phenomenal job. You know, these guys,
and put themselves in a situation to understand that they did it in the tough game. And you want to be the best, you got to beat the best.
Yep.
So if you're talking about, so now we understand that we're in different classification, but the journey and everything stays the same when you're talking about who is the best in your own backyard.
Yep.
Everybody's going to make sure that we understand that we're separated. We're not playing each other for the district title or whatever between Northwestern and Central. Unfortunately, I have to continue to play Booker T. Washington, you know, and
we'll
have to compete, you know, to go for the title. And we know that they're going to be prepared and they're going to be fired up and they're going to be ready to go ahead and compete for the title as well. They're not just going to lay down and give it to us. But one thing that we are, we're just ready for the challenge. And so that's why we set up schedules like coming out of the gate with Northwestern in the kickoff classic, open up with Deerfield, come back with Dillon, come back with Central, come back with Chaminade, go to Trinity Christian, come back to St. Thomas, go to Ocala Vanguard, come to Edison, go to South Dade, and finish at American. And we feel if we can make it through that schedule that we rightfully deserve to earn the crown of walking around and saying we're the best team in Florida.
No doubt. Benedict Hippolyte, head coach at Miami Carroll City, joining us. Coach, also when you take a look at the kids that you lost, key kids, obviously Naquan Wright, was just such a tremendous asset to that school for not just as a football player, but just as a leader, as a role model. And those are tough to replace, obviously. But you've learned. You look at a Demetrius Jackson, like Coach was just talking about, guys that want to make the community better. Talk about kids like that.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, man. And that's one thing that we make sure as a program that we teach these young men, because of what are you going to be of service to after football? You know, football is fun. We all like it. I think that's one thing that we have in common, that most of us, that we played the game and we've learned life lessons through the game of football. But what are you going to do to be serviceable, you know, after football when it's time to put the cleats up? What is your mission in life? How can you continue to help people? How can you continue to develop as a young man? How can you strive to be a great husband, a great father? You know, just a great co-worker to everybody, because I think ultimately that's what our service here on earth is to do. We take away the titles, take away my head coaching title or whatever, take away all the titles that we have here on earth, and understanding that the ultimate purpose to understand it, we serve as disciples and to continue to deliver the word of God. And how do we do that? It's about going out the way, and there ain't no better joy than helping others. And understanding creating leaders in the communities, people who can continue to help people grow, build on our communities, create those opportunities for academic situations and financial situations to put these guys to go ahead and compete for competitive jobs so that they can provide for their families one day. So those things are important. That's why every day before the game, we have team bonding where we eat our meals. We have the team pastor comes in and giving us a word and making sure that how that word transitioned to football and transitioned to life as well, because they got to understand that they are productive citizens after they leave the doors of Miami Carroll City. And that's why every Tuesday I make sure that we have Bible study with the coaches, because we are the role models, we are the mentors, so we got to be sure that if we want these kids to walk a certain walk, talk a certain talk, and walk with integrity in the community, they have to come from us. They have to see those same leadership quality that we're asking them to do within us as coaches. So we have a young lady who we on a 9-week program who does from the University of Florida, works on player development, doing the other things on how to teach these guys psychological, to being prepared about life, football, the college atmosphere. So we on a 9-week program. So we want to have all these things in place to be sure that we can give them the best opportunity at winning in life.
Good
that's
stuff.
What we talk, when you create a winning culture and everything as far as winning in the classroom, and that starts off with the positive when you wake up in the morning with a positive attitude about the win the day. So when you create a winning attitude and transition to every area in their life, you can't just say, I want to be a winner on the football field.
No,
I'm
I
not
understand
being a winner
that.
As a person.
Good
not
stuff.
Being a winner in the classroom.
All right, Coach.
Transition.
Thanks so much. As always, we'll catch up with you. Appreciate you always, man. Thanks and continued success.
Thank you. I appreciate you for having me, Larry Bluestein. It's always a pleasure.
Anytime. Benedict Hippolyte, when we come back, head coach Dave Doran from North Carolina State.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Back with you on a South Florida High School Sports.com Monday evening. Larry Bluestein, Dan Day up until 8 o'clock. Thanks so much to Coach Pierre Sinatis from MacArthur. Also to Coach Benedict Hippolyte from Miami Carroll City, who Dan Day liked a lot. But he can talk as well. As we switch to our college segment, as we do, touch in with some of the head coaches around the country. Tough time of year for them because they don't get a chance to get out like a lot of the assistants. But nevertheless, we have been able to keep a lot of the college coaches close to South Florida. One of them is North Carolina State head coach Dave Dorn, who we've had on in the past, certainly has done an awesome job there. Two straight nine-win seasons and five straight bowl games. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time.
You bet. Thanks for having me, Larry.
Anytime. This is obviously a time of year where it's kind of crazy for everybody. I mean, crazy for you, for the head coaches, because they're back at home base and kind of doing everything they can in the communities, going to events, trying to keep the awareness while all your assistants are out all over the country. Talk about what spring is for you, because obviously it has to be a hugely busy time.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of seeing boosters, going around sharing your message. You know, for me, it's in the state mostly. I think we had about 14 different cities we went to in a five-day window. That's, you know, whether it's a breakfast, lunch, or a dinner, talking to the fans. And then we have our conference meetings, you know, thrown into that as well. And then just being on the phone with your coaches and, you know, looking at film for them. And then a few, you know, just professional development things. I like to get out and try to visit pro NFL OTAs during this month when I can as well.
When you take a look at selling this program, and obviously you're building new buildings, you're doing a lot of things academically and athletically, I mean, that's all a selling point. I mean, you talk to the parents, you talk to the athletes, and I mean, and obviously they see what's going on in the field. They saw the bowl games. They've had an opportunity to watch you compete in a very, very tough conference, tough league from top to bottom. The ACC is extremely competitive with schools like yourself and Syracuse and Boston College now taking that move towards the top. What is it that you sell to the parents? You know, because obviously the kids know a lot about the programs, but the parents sometimes are the determining factor. They want to make sure that their kid is in a place where it's going to benefit them, not only from the athletic standpoint, but from an academic standpoint and from a social life.
Right. Well, I mean, being a parent, you know, I can kind of put myself in their shoes, and I think every kid that comes in your office is a little different, you know, and you got to get to know what matters to them and to that family and how they see their life without football. You know, what's it going to look like when you can't play anymore? What do you want it to be? And I've always told everybody, you know, the facilities and all that stuff are great, but, you know, ultimately my job is to surround them with really good people that can help them develop as men and be mentors in their life, and hold them accountable off the field, you know, academically, and develop and coach and mentor them on the field as a football player. So it's, you know, a three-phase approach. You know, their athleticism, their scholastic goals and dreams, and then their manhood, and it's helping them grow character.
Right. And you
that's
also
really what we talk about, man.
And that's a great thing. I mean, and then when you get them on campus, and no matter what school it is, if it's Purdue, Georgia, wherever, you always have these alumni. And in your case, I mean, you have quite a few tremendous players currently playing, or guys like Torrey Holt who played in the past. But all these alumni who kind of sing the praises of Wolfpack football, which is probably the best advertising you can get. And when they come, when the kids come, or their families or the coaches come during the summer on for your camps, they get a chance to walk around some of your facilities and see some of the players who kind of set the path and blaze the trail for these guys. Talk about that, how important it is, because you were at Northern Illinois and you know that there's been players that come out of there, and you've been at places where, you know, that it's always the alumni that kind of carries the flag for the future.
Yeah, I think, you know, that just serves as proof that the experience that those student athletes had was positive. You know, I mean, you come back here and Mike Glennon, you know, one of our five quarterbacks in the NFL, lives here. Torrey Holt lives here. Mario Williams lives here. I mean, so in the summertime, you're going to run into a lot of former players. And when we have our alumni events, they're always well attended. And I think that the Wolfpack Nation really supports not just the football program, but you go to a baseball game or a basketball game or a women's basketball game, there's great attendance, and that's what makes our fans special, and I think our student-athletes feel that, and they definitely share those experiences, you know, when people ask them about it.
Yeah, and I could share in that. Dave Doran, the head coach at North Carolina State, doing a tremendous job. Five straight bowl games, coach. That's a great calling card as well. An opportunity to win nine games the last 2 years with a challenging schedule is also impressive. But another thing, too, is wrapping yourself around a coaching staff, and you've done that extremely well. There's a lot of, especially down in this area where George McDonald, Kevin Patrick, a lot of the guys that, you know, that are trusting and know, a lot of people know them for years and years. That's got to be one of the most important things as you go to some of those events and back, you know, back home and in North Carolina and some of the areas, to know that the guys that you have work in the field are well respected and people really certainly admire what they do.
Yeah, I think, you know, the people that I'm with are really good people. They're good men. They're fun to work with. They take recruiting very seriously, which is the lifeblood of our program. But they also understand how much, you know, the development of these young men matters once we get them here, and you have to balance the two. And, you know, I think Kevin, being from down there, and George has recruited there forever. And then Aaron Henry, who's right. from Immokalee.
Yeah.
You know, I have three guys on my staff that have really, really good ties in Florida. And so, you know, it's been a good area for us. And of the state of Georgia, but we're going to try to go where not only there's good players, but there's good people and kids that are developed that want the right things.
Summer camps are extremely important. Obviously, you gear up for those all year to get kids on campus. I mean, it's probably the pinnacle, the most important thing to get them where you guys live. Talk about your summer camps and what you got going on this summer.
Yeah, we'll have camps basically from June 7th for three straight weekends, Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, and try to get, you know, anywhere from 1,500 to 3,000 kids when you count our 2 7-on-7 tournaments we have through here. And it's really important not only for us to get that live evaluation with them in a camp, but also for them, I think, to be coached by somebody that they could play for and have that experience as well. And I always tell kids, it's not just us looking at you, it's you looking at us in these
yep.
camps. And you know, how it's going to fit together, because you'll actually be coached by that guy while they're here, and there'll be good competition. You know, there's always really good players that roll through the triangle and go from our campus to the other two. And so we get to see a lot of really good football players
yeah.
rolling through here in the next month, you know.
Yeah, no, I do know, and a lot of talent. And before I let you go, I spent last weekend with a lot of coaches down here. They had the last Saturday of spring, and one of them was Charlie Partridge, who he and I talked a little bit about you and your days at Drake.
Yeah.
He said you and him had a really good time rooming together. But he said mentioned a coach that you know, the old Drake days. He says that kind of humbles everybody. He says.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, he and I. Chris Ash, we're all there at the same time. Had a great time working
yeah.
together and remain close friends.
Good stuff. Coach, again, thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule. Best of luck to you. Look forward to seeing you again.
Thanks for the opportunity. It's always good to be on the radio down there in South Florida.
Good stuff. Coach Dave Doran ends up Dan Day, which is a tremendous program. You can catch all of our podcasts. They'll all be up. That's it. What an outstanding. We'll probably be back on Tuesday, Monday next week, Memorial Day. Enjoy your week. As always, don't forget SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com. K-Raj is coming up next up until 10 o'clock. Thanks, and we'll see you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.